Welcome back to TechNet Radio. In today's Taste of Premier, Lex Thomas welcomes Principal Technical Account Manager Brent Gatewood and Senior Premier Field Engineer Amy Long as they provide some insight into how Microsoft Premier Support helped deploy a successful 300,000-plus seat email migration by creating a simulated customer lab environment and use case scenarios. They also share with us their top 5 tips for large projects like this, as well as give a quick glimpse at Windows 8. Lex, the mic is yours.
Hi, and welcome to TechNet Radio's Taste of Premier Show, Episode 2. My name is Lex Thomas, and I am here to help you navigate through the maze of Microsoft Premier Support offerings. Engaging Premier Support is an excellent way for you and your company to benefit from our wealth of experience and product knowledge. Today, we have Brent Gatewood and Amy Long with us. Brent is a Microsoft Principal TAM, and Amy is a Senior PFE. Guys, give us some background about yourselves and talk to us about your roles. Brent?
Sure, will do. Hi, Lex. Hello, everybody. My name again is Brent Gatewood. I'm a Principal Technical Account Manager supporting large enterprise customers in the public sector space. And funny enough, I'm stationed out of Heidelberg, Germany, where we have some of our customers located. I've been working with Microsoft up on 5 years now, the entire time working in the public sector space with over 20 years of experience working with large enterprise customers in that realm. It's a little bit about me. Amy?
Hey, everyone. My name is Amy Long. Glad to be here today. I've been at Microsoft for the last 10 years, started on the phones in Charlotte, North Carolina, currently in Stuttgart, Germany, supporting very large enterprise customers. Stationed out of Stuttgart, Germany, but I do travel pretty much all around the world to support our large-scale customers.
Awesome. Hey, Amy, what did you support in Charlotte?
I actually supported Exchange in Charlotte back in 2001. And that's pretty much where I've been since.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. You guys are both obese. So, hey, I've got something pretty cool today. I'm doing this show from my Windows 8 slate, the whole thing. So I'm running the Windows 8 developer preview, although by the time this show airs, we might have the Windows 8 beta out. But so far, so good. So as long as nothing technical breaks, I think we're in good shape.
Lex, I think that's absolutely awesome. We got a lot of customers over here really super excited about that getting out. I'm a little jealous that you got one of those in your hands already.
Oh, yeah. I ended up getting the Samsung Series 7 slate, but there are a lot of good ones out there.
Man, that's awesome. I saw that just the other day when I was working down at with some of the German customers. So yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. So today I want to discuss using Premier Support to help customers with large enterprise projects, and you guys just did that. So Brent, Amy, can you guys tell me a little bit about that engagement?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go ahead and kick it off. So what we had was a large enterprise migration dealing with email, several hundred thousand seats, in fact, spanning customers across the whole globe. The challenge was is that although the customers were moving forward on this very large initiative, they weren't necessarily speaking with each other in a way that helped them address some of the issues that were sure to come up relevant to the user experience behind that. And that's one of the areas where we thought that we might be able to bring a little bit of additional added value. We also knew that with these large customers, we had various touch points within Microsoft Premier. So we had several different independent Premier relationships with these customers who shared a common user base. And what we did is we reached out to our counterparts and said, hey, are you guys experiencing the same types of problems? Because that's something we do really commonly within Premier, which is leverage all the relationships we have across customers who have similar work conditions or similar problem sets and share that information with each other to say, okay, what can we learn from you and what can we share with you that might actually help your customers out? So back to this and back to the enterprise email migration, we knew that we had several different touch points. We knew we had a large customer who was about to go through something that had the potential to cause them a lot of discomfort if it didn't go well. And it was important to us that they were very successful in this. So by leveraging our counterparts, we're able to put together a good story on how Microsoft might be able to help with that. And the way we wanted to help was actually help them understand better what the true user impact or that user experience was going to look and feel like. So we engaged these customers across these multiple segments, reached out into the Microsoft Services Labs, which enables us to take large enterprise customer environments and replicate them in a very safe environment inside of a Microsoft-hosted lab facility. And we socialized this with our customer to get their buy-in, to say, hey, would you be interested? And they certainly were. And in fact, what they did is everyone took a little portion of their Premier support agreement and dedicated it toward this mission. The important thing, like I said, was really to focus on the quality of the user experience associated with this. In order to do that, we reached out to some great folks like Amy Long, which is why Amy's on the call today, to actually understand, because Amy, important to say, is a dedicated PFE with our customer. We have a lot of dedicated PFEs, especially within the public sector space, who work every day on site with the customers, really understand their environments, really truly understand their problems. And through the relationships, we're able to fast-track information back into Microsoft to pull out a quick answer and deliver it to them. In this case, we were looking to replicate their environment through a lab engagement, and Amy and her counterparts were really critical to that task. What I'd like to do is go ahead and move right into that and pass the speaking stick off to Amy, if you will, to talk about what it means to create a customer environment like that, what kind of conditions we put into place, and actually what makes a large project like this where we're looking to replicate a customer environment in labs, what makes that successful. Amy, can I ask you to say a few words on that?
Absolutely. What really made it successful was the fact that pretty much the sky was the limit with Microsoft Labs in terms of our hardware, our software, and our networking requirements. We were able to successfully duplicate three different customer environments within the lab within the same room. While a lot of our customer elements are the same around security and some of the networking components, we had situations where we had one customer who was running Exchange 2007, two were running Exchange 2003, we had one running Office Communication Server. We had a mix of Windows 7. We had Vista. So we had to bring in all of the PFEs from these different customer environments. And when I say PFEs, I'm not just talking about me as a unified communications PFE. We had our platforms PFEs from the different environments, which was critical. We had our SCCM PFEs. We had our SCOM PFEs. We had to bring all these PFEs together to talk about the customer environment, to get it all out on paper, kind of a high-level architectural overview. Once we had all that on paper, how we thought it would work, we had to get customer buy-off on these different steps. And this is something I actually wanted Brent to talk to, how important it was as we PFEs as a team went through each one of these steps, how critical it was to make certain that the customers, the TAMs, actually got the buy-off from the customers, that what we're doing was in line with what their ultimate end goals were, so that they felt the value around the money that they were giving up out of their Premier support agreement.
Yeah, you know, Amy, that is a really important element that needs to be spoken to, and it's a critical success factor with doing any type of large engagement like this. It's super important that we make sure that the end customers are fully on board with what we're looking to do and that they own the experience. I mean, really, Premier is a partner. We don't necessarily come in and get on the keyboard and do things for you. What we come in and do is get on next to you and help you have and be more successful with the software and with the applications. And that's the same thing that we experience here in this lab engagement. As we move forward and we are creating this environment that tested all these various conditions, it's incumbent upon all the TAMs who have customers who were players in this to actually go out, review the architectures that the PFEs were recommending, review the scenarios that they were recommending, and ensure that it's been properly socialized and accepted as the type of conditions that the customers were looking to test and that it was truly important to them. In our case, it was turned out to be mission critically important because the actual stakeholders, so the people who were ultimately responsible for the business processes that we were supporting here, outside of the technology, because the technology is just an enabler to actually getting real work done, getting real business done, and satisfying a mission. And our customers got that, and looking at it from the user perspective and looking at it by developing use cases and representing just about every aspect of their enterprise environments in the labs turned out to be super important to them. And they also appreciated the fact that we were coming in from the point of view of the user. And what was interesting about that is not only just the obvious points that, okay, the user's the leaf object, if you will, in the experience, and these guys are the people who we do all this for. The piece that was also interesting to that is that it actually exercised the entire infrastructure. So anything from the functionality of the Outlook client and how it behaves, the add-ons that they have in that environment, the interaction that Outlook has with other applications and other services that are mission critical to them, the interaction directly with their Exchange servers that they have organic to them, and then, of course, how that interaction changes once you actually take something as significant as Exchange out of their topology and place it up inside of a private cloud. And so by actually moving end-to-end in that process, not only did we give ourselves some really great feedback on what it meant to the user, we gave ourselves some awesome feedback on what it means to the solution as a whole. Amy, is that what you're looking for?
Yes, that actually is what we're looking for. And you kind of keyed on something a little bit earlier about how we're just enablers for our customers. They kind of have an idea about what they want to do within the lab or what they want to test. Sometimes, though, as PFEs and as TAMs, I've noticed that sometimes we have to guide the customer, shall we say, in what we think they're looking for. They'll come to us with some ideas about what they want to test, but they're not as detailed about what that might look like. And frankly, Brent, I think that's kind of where the value of the dedicated PFE comes in also, because we're sitting in their environments. We see how their end users are using the product, in this case, OCS, Outlook, and so on. We see how they're using it, and we understand that once the customer migrates to this private cloud, we understand what kind of functionality they would still be looking for and what we need to test for. Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? And if it's not going to work, then what can we do for them?
And not really just identifying what we think isn't going to work necessarily. I mean, in the end, just about anything is possible when you set your mind to it. But how do you mitigate some of the challenges? And most importantly, especially from a TAMS perspective, how do we communicate the changes that are going to occur inside of the environment to the users and to the people who manage these systems in such a way as that they're ready for it? I find, and I use this analogy with my customers quite often, if you pick up the phone and you get a dial tone, you're a happy person, you're able to make your call. But you can take the sweetest person in the world, and if they pick it up and the dial tone is not there, they lose their mind. But if someone came in and them the heads up that, hey, it may take a few seconds, or hey, there may be a change, or hey, there may be an intermittent outage, you'll find that your user base is willing to roll with just about anything you can present them with, as long as you communicate and manage that change properly. And that's one of the pieces that I think TAMS bring to the table as well, is the process component. Technology consists of more than just the technology. There's three legs to it. You have the technology, you have the processes that guide how you're supposed to engage with that technology, and then last, you have the people who are going to leverage it. And if you don't think about all three of those pillars there, you'll always run into a bit of a problem.
Yeah, that's awesome, guys. Kind of the whole customer-driven Microsoft-guided approach. The thing that I think Premier really brings to the table here is our experience when it comes to other devices in the same environment, right? It's very easy to deploy Outlook, and it's not easy, but I guess it would depend on the number of seats and what the complexity of the environment is. But you can do it. I can install Outlook, and as long as I know where my server is and what the path to the server is, I can connect, I can do email, I can do calendaring, and everything's fine, right? The real benefit is, we have this database of information that we can tap into that contains information about, hey, these third-party devices might be in this environment. So we know what issues that can raise and how to work around those issues. And that's something that maybe a customer, doesn't have. That's kind of the knowledge piece that I think makes us incredibly valuable in situations like this. How many seats did we actually deploy? Do we know?
Oh, gee whiz, Lex, you're asking an interesting question. Right now, they're still in the process of actually doing the move. So exactly how many seats they've moved into it yet, I really can't say.
Okay, do we know what the end number is supposed to be?
We're certainly looking over 300,000 seats, is my understanding at the moment.
Wow, correct. So that's huge.
Yep.
That's huge. Wow.
I would
so
like
how-
to hit on one thing that you talked about that I think you hit on that's really interesting. We did, in fact, run into the type of situation that you're describing, where we had a third-party mobile mail device that was being leveraged by our customers, and they ran into a problem. How do we handle the change from one location to other? How do we migrate these users so that these third-party devices continue to work? And it was actually through relationships that I had as their TAM that was able to bring actually other vendors, other folks into the mix, because we're not afraid to talk about multi-vendor environments. We realize that a customer solution isn't always a homogeneous Microsoft solution, and that there's other components within that. And we're certainly happy to play with that and happy to enable it insofar as it's related to our technology, or that we're able to bring some value to that discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a great KB article, and that's exactly what I was talking about, right? Using our database of knowledge. There's actually a great KB article on issues to expect with some third-party clients and how to work around those issues, et cetera. And so that's awesome. How difficult was it to actually engage lab services and get them up to speed and you know, get the environment built out?
You know, I tell you, if you have the I'm going to let Amy speak to the build-out piece of that, but engaging the labs, as long as you have a Microsoft Premier or a Microsoft Consulting Services relationship, the engagement of the labs through the people who would be point person for that. So if it's Premier, it's going to be your technical account manager. If it's consulting services, it may be a project manager who does that for you. But it's as easy as saying, hey, this is what I want, and this is the scale in which I'd like to build it. They even offered so far as to say, if we had additional components that we needed to bring into the lab, so stuff that didn't exist in our normal lab environment, that they'd be willing to rack that and hook it up for us and everything. So if there were, you know, other third-party pieces or specialized storage or what have you, they were incredibly accommodating. I really enjoyed working with the lab folks. One of the other things that's also interesting is the ability to replicate various network topologies. So I was able to go with them with a document and say, I have servers in this location, that location, and this location in various countries. They're either hooking up over satellite or they're hooking up over long-haul lines or what have you, and they were able to very accurately replicate that with regard to latency, drop packets, jitter, link speed, the whole nine yards. So in the end, the customers were able to actually get a really good impression of what the experiences could be like with regard to migration and quality of service for reaching back across into the private cloud from the Outlook client. Amy, can you talk a little bit about the process of the build and even a little bit about those additional tests that you did that showed us how the experience looked from a latency perspective?
Certainly. I have to laugh sometimes because trying to get our customers together and trying to get them organized, it's also kind of hard to herd PFEs to get them together to talk, because we all have our ideas about what we want to bring to the table for our particular customers. But one of my counterparts, Michael McCracken, who actually led up the architectural design and gathering all the requirements, was able to work with all of us to get the requirements together so he could build this high-level architectural design. Once this design was done and the customers had approved it, like we had discussed earlier, then what we did when we had the lab engagement in place is we set out a small team of PFEs in advance, about a week in advance of when the customers were actually set to show up on site. We had this high-level design of how we thought these three environments were going to work together with the migration tools, you know, with the private cloud that we had built. But we knew that probably getting it into the lab, you know, a lot of times things don't work out exactly the way you expect. Now, what was critical to that, I mentioned the different technologies earlier. We knew we just couldn't send out a unified communications PFE like Mike is. We also wanted to make certain we had a platforms person there, that we had an SCCM person. So we had one representative of each one of those technologies. They were able, with the help of the Microsoft Services Labs, to get that lab up and running with these three diverse environments with all of the different platforms we were using between Windows 2003, Windows 2008, you know, Vista, you know, Windows 7, everything. They were able to get that up and running within a week and ready to go by the time that our customers got there on site, you know, including some of the third-party utilities that we were talking about about earlier, Lex, for example. So that was a really good point that you brought up there, because our customers do use a lot of third-party solutions that we have to integrate with and understand.
Hey, thanks, Amy. That's really awesome. And you know, talking about how we built that environment and how cool that was is great stuff. But, you know, I think the real meat of the engagement is found in is what you did with the customers, when we actually brought various customers in. And let me just open it by saying the folks who we had participate in the lab, we had folks who consisted of management, whose responsibility was to basically, like Mac McCracken did, was herd the cats, not from the Microsoft side, but really on their side, and say, hey, I control the service desk. I control people who are the doers on the Exchange application, and I have folks out there even within the customer base. And that's exactly what they brought in. So we had the management element. We had service desk personnel. We had some significant technical stakeholders from the customer segment, and we had people who were managing the migration tools and people who were responsible for daily O&M of the Exchange boxes. All these people consisted of various use groups and were part of the lab engagement, actually running this as users, if you will, testing various scenarios and various tests. And that's where Amy really contributed most to this effort, was actually in the development of those use cases. Amy, can you talk about the use cases and how you actually ran our customers through it, and then a little bit about the deliverable and the process of how you actually did each individual use case?
Certainly, Brent. Again, this comes back to PFE's understanding how their customers are using our products within the environment. So in this case, we were doing a lot of work around what is Outlook going to look like to an end user, what is Office Communications going to look like to an end user at the end of these migrations into this private cloud. So we sat down with our customers and we said, okay, here's how we believe you are using these products today. You open up Outlook, you send a signed and encrypted email, you open up OCS, you look for presence, all kinds of use cases. And we sat down and we mapped out what they would like to see at the end of the engagement. How is it going to work for us at the end of the engagement? And a great point that Brett made earlier, maybe it won't exactly work the way we think it will, but is there a mitigation that we can develop in the lab that they can take back to make the end user experience a lot better? So we sat down, we mapped all that out, we documented everything, and we documented what the test cases were actually going to be. So for each one of these test cases, we had a piece of paper. We said we're going to do this, 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 and this, and then the customers would be stepping through this in the lab. And when we first got everybody to the lab on that first day, we had a lot of customers who I realized had not seen each other in a couple of years. There were some old friendships that were reforming. I have to say that was pretty cool. It was actually cool seeing them all interact and talking about the different things that they do. But at 9 o'clock when we got started that morning, anybody who was not part of those use cases, part of the testing of that, shoot them right out of the room, including some of the high-level managers, because they were not going to be in their testing, and I did not want them distracting the testers.
She even got rid of the TAMs. It was unbelievable.
TAMs don't add value to this, Brett, okay?
Hey, Amy, can I I just want to remind you that you're outnumbered 2 TAMs to 1 here.
I know. I realized that as soon as I said it, Lex. Sorry.
That's okay.
So we got them shoot out of the room, and along with some of the lab managers that the services labs gave us, who were sitting in there and helping us document everything that they were seeing, we documented all of the outcomes. And from the outcomes, we looked at it and said, okay, at the end of the day, what worked, what didn't? We kind of had a battle group. Now, this was a TAM idea, I admit. It was a great idea at the end of the day to kind of go over what we'd seen in the lab. Brent, if I could, 30 seconds, pass it over to you to kind of talk about what the TAMs did at the end of the day with the PFEs and the customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And one point I want to make about the use cases that Amy didn't hit on, but I think is really important, was, and it's also one of the critical success factors here, is who owned each and every use case. We may have helped them develop it, but the people who actually ran through the use cases, discovered the problems, and had conversations across all the customers in the room within these various was the customer themselves. Only when they weren't able to come up with an idea or a mitigation that helped them get over that particular problem would we start engaging and nugging into the deeply technical issues that they were hitting. But really, they owned it. They looked at what they were willing to accept, and they were the guys on the spot, or on the fly, if you will, developing solutions to that and annotating it. It was this piece at the end of the day where we brought everyone together and did a little huddle with everyone and say, okay, what did we learn today? What did we discover? What's important to us? And what's the way ahead tomorrow? And really using it as a way to just kind of refresh those things that are critical to us, make sure that anything that we had to put in the parking lot was captured, and anything that's really important but we didn't get done that day, we had scheduled up and queued up to take off on the following morning. The TAMs, and this is what we were doing as customers were moving through this, as Amy was leading them through all these different use cases, we actually sat in a different room altogether and we're taking the findings that were coming out of the lab and compiling a very significant customer deliverable that actually captured all of the findings. So when they went home, roughly about a week after they got back, we were able to deliver a very detailed document that actually captured all the learning that they had gotten out from the services engagement, which allowed them to go forward with the problem, ensure that they were communicated properly to the user base, or that the proper mitigations were applied to their topology so that they can go ahead and test to that. Key piece. Don't just think that everything that worked or was tested in the lab is going to work in your production environment. It also requires some testing when they got back home just to validate it. Once they did that, they were able to go ahead and deploy it and say, this is good knowledge and we're going to march forward with it. Thanks, Amy.
Yep. And Brent, if I may add to that, during the testing of the use cases, we realized there were some use cases that we needed to add. And so we developed these on the fly. As a matter of fact, we're having such a good time, and our customers were having such a good time, that some of the customers who were scheduled to leave at the end of the week decided to delay their flights for a couple of days so that we could go ahead and run through these use cases in the labs.
Yep. In the end, we've discovered probably some 80-plus different findings that they're able to take home and start applying to their migration and actually made them a lot more successful as a result of it. Not only the customer being successful, but even the Microsoft Premier field engineers who were a part of the effort were able to take the findings and go back to home station with these customers and begin working with them, finding unique ways to solve these problems. And then these solutions were ultimately able to be injected back into the knowledge base that Lex was talking about so they can be shared across a larger group of folks. Honestly, even folks outside of this customer base will feel the benefit of the fact that people did this inside the public sector. The knowledge gained could find application, commercial, or what have you.
That's awesome, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, so we're almost out of time. We're almost out of time. Any last thoughts, Brent?
You know, I just want to hit on I have a few tips, and we have them actually written out here, so I'm just going to read a few of these things that I think were critical and some things that we learned from it. The first tip for engagements like this is the customer's got to own it, right? We're helping. We're a supporting cast member. We can help set the conditions for success, but if we don't have customer buy-in, you're not going to get what you wanted to out of the engagement. Second piece is leverage the broader community. So rely on your, or tap your TAM, rely on your PFEs and say, hey, reach out for me. Have other people done this before? Have other people hit these types of challenges? You'd be surprised what we have in our knowledge base if you just let us be a part of those teams and inject that knowledge into you so you can get a good head start on large enterprise fieldings like this one. The user interface. Look at things from the perspective of your user. That's the best way to do it because that's who we do this for. It's the user that we're enabling and not necessarily just trying to cause a blinky light to come on or off or enable an interesting technology. It's about enabling processes. And then the last piece, actually the second to last, is come up with all the different test scenarios. Test it from every possible vantage point you can. Consider if you have Vista, if you have Windows 7 in the environment, you need to look at both of them. And both different types of chip architectures that you have in there. If you start bringing Windows 8 into the environment, whenever that day comes and we have a release for that, you got to consider that as well to include the different technologies that would be supported under that platform. And then lastly, don't forget the processes. Don't forget the communication. Use this as a way to go ahead and decide what do I need to communicate to my user community so they're really ready for the changes that we're about to give to them. That's what I have in closing, Lex. Thanks for the opportunity to let us talk about this today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That's awesome. You know, this has just been a great show, and I really appreciate you guys joining us today and, you know, speaking on this topic for us. If you have any questions for anything that you've heard today, you know, heard from us today,
If you have any questions for Brent, if you have any questions for Amy, or if you have any questions for me, or anything from past episodes, please feel free to email us at topp@microsoft.com. Again, that's topp@microsoft.com. That's about it for today's episode. I do want to say that Windows 8 rocks. Windows 8 rocks.
Yeah, it does.
Thanks, guys.